At the end of a dock in Auk Bay, an unassuming floating platform holds thousands of young oysters, called spat, in bins that are revealed when a farmer lifts a creaky hatch door. This is called a floating upweller system, or flupsy, and it's one way oyster farmers can keep more stock.
This is just a cheaper way to buy spat in a smaller size, much bigger quantity.
That's Miranda Hom, owner of Shinnecu Shellfish Company, a small family-run Pacific oyster farm in Kluwak. Hom is in Juneau for the day-long mariculture workshop organized by Alaska Sea Grant and Tlingit Haida. She says nutrient-rich water flushes through the flupsy, so the tiny oysters can grow quickly, big enough to fit into mesh bags out on a farm. This flupsy belongs to Salty Lady Seafood Company, the only oyster farm in Juneau. Baham says she's planning to stock her own flupsy in Kluwak. It's one way oyster farmers can scale up, even when there are bottlenecks in the supply chain.
Currently, there's only so many flupsies in the state. And as a farmer, we've already not had seed needs met.
Most oyster farmers in Alaska, including Hom, have to ship in spat from out-of-state hatcheries, usually in Hawaii, Washington, Oregon, or California. Sometimes there are shortages at those hatcheries. And there's another way to address the supply chain problem, starting in-state hatcheries. As part of the workshop, participants are touring the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mariculture Research Hatchery at Lena Point, managed by Spencer Lunda. The facility pumps in seawater that gets heated and flows into troughs filled with oysters, where Lunda and his team are studying ways to produce spat locally for farms across Alaska.
It would be nice to have spat production in the state, and as well as to have just maybe be able to produce oysters that perform better in the conditions of Alaska because the water is very cold here compared to where oysters are typically grown.
He says the ultimate goal is to breed oysters that grow relatively quickly in cold water and form a deep cup with a lot of meat, traits desirable for farmers trying to turn a profit and consumers slurping them from the half shell. Back on the dock, Hom says the lease process to enter the industry is another issue that could be improved.
I'm here sharing about being a farmer and the struggles and challenges that we face firsthand so other Indigenous farmers can get into the industry.
She says it took her 2 years to get an aquatic farm lease. And she says the state's process doesn't consult with tribes to see whether proposed farm sites would overlap with subsistence seafood harvest sites.
I think it's crucial that the state of Alaska incorporates tribal consultation rather than just city government, city municipal government consultation.
But developing mariculture operations could become a boon for Native communities too. Frank Nix is the cultural foods manager for the Organized Village of Kasan. He says he's at the workshop to see how mariculture could bolster economic development and food security in his small village.
So most of us are already working 3 or 4 jobs and all of our facilities are running 3 or 4 programs. So when it comes to looking at opportunities like, well, maybe we don't have the manpower to run a farm, but, you know, it seemed like 1 or 2 people could manage a space of the size that we were just in.
Like a small hatchery.
I think one of the most valuable things that I've seen so far is that this seems perfectly doable.
Nix says he's grateful to attend the workshop on a travel scholarship, and the recent availability of funding and training in Alaska mariculture makes the industry attractive. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.